Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Documenting South Florida's prolific blues music scene is a labor of love for the local label Mosher Street Records. Here's music contributor Bob Weinberg to tell us more about the label and their latest release.
Well, I'm going down in Florida.
With his well-worn hat, tinted shades, and salt-and-pepper goatee, Jerry Bloom is a familiar figure to South Florida blues fans. In fact, Bloom may just be the number one South Florida blues fan, popping up at festivals, concerts, and clubs wherever his favorite music is played, and tirelessly promoting his heroes past and present. But Bloom, who retired from his long career as lead software developer with American Express in 2005, is more than just a super fan. Not only did he tour as part of the road crew with former South Florida blues star Josh Smith, but he also has produced four volumes and counting of his Showcasing the Blues series on his own Mosher Street Records. Bloom's concept focuses on our region's deep blues talent, providing an impressive snapshot of the bands who've honed their skills night after night on area stages. Some have achieved international fame, some remain neighborhood favorites. Some are recent Florida transplants, while still others have left the state for bluer pastures. On the latest edition of Showcasing the Blues, subtitled Harp Blowin' Blues from South Florida and the first double album in the series, Bloom compiles tracks from some of the Sunshine State's mightiest harmonica players. The mix includes seasoned vets such as Billy Burns, Cadillac Chuck, John Harris of Fabulous Fleetwood's fame, and Jumpin' Jack Blooney of the Big City Blues Band. And younger virtuosos such as Nico Wayne Toussaint and R.J. Harmon prove that the mouth harp tradition is in very good hands. A charter member of the South Florida Blues Society, Bloom recently spoke with South Florida Arts Beat at the WLRN studios. Jerry Bloom, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's great to see you. As I've often said, you're one of the most identifiable guys on the blues scene. We always see you at the blues festivals and various concerts and clubs around town. We can tell that it's a labor of love for you. You always seem to be really enjoying what you're doing.
It's all about the musicians to me, you know. It's not me, it's them. They get their music out, listen, and get the people out to support them and the clubs, because that's important. Without the clubs, they have no place to play. And we have such a talent base down here of all styles. When people from out of town talk about South Florida, he says, you must have 15 or 16 great venues that your bands can rotate around and play. We've got one where we have to drive 30 miles. Right. You're 10 minutes away from some of these clubs this day. I said, that's correct.
Right, and some of our local guys have done so well on the national and international stages, and so I guess people assume that there must be this healthy blues environment down here, and there is. There's certainly a fan base, but the clubs are fewer and far between.
I like when Albert Castilla says it, and from the blues capital of the world, I'm from Wilton Manors.
Well, speaking of which, you're originally from Baltimore, correct?
Yes, I am.
So did you grow up listening to blues and R&B?
Yeah, my dad had a clothing store in the inner city, and I grew up there, and there was all this neighborhood music sitting on the steps and singing all the music from back then. So I got into that as an early age, and I used to work in his store, and I picked up that music there and just listened to that. And we had great radio stations up there listening to the R&B music and that. And then I went to the University of Maryland, and then I started following all the great music in Georgetown, going down to the great clubs there, hanging out on M Street. I used to enjoy just going on there on Friday and Saturday night to get away from the university and listening to the wealth of music between jazz and blues. And I was into the rock, of course, there. But we're talking about in the 60s there.
Right.
And
so
there was
seen
some great entertainment going on down there. But I had what I call my religious experience to the blues when my buddy, who worked at Channel 4 WRC on a Friday night, calls me, and they had a local TV show Saturday morning, and said, Jerry, we've got this blues guitar player coming in for the show. Let's go down and check him out. I said, what's his name? He said, some guy named Albert King. I said, well, I've heard of him. I've listened to him. And I went down there, and we went down there, and he pulled up in his Cadillac convertible, green silk suit, carrying the flying V with his pipe, the nicest guy you ever want to meet. 2 minutes into his first song, I said, this is my music, this style of blues. That single note with the vocals of the way Albert did it, I said, rock and roll, you're second fiddle to this.
So we should mention M Street. Now, was that Mosher Street that we're talking about?
M Street was in Georgetown, Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, and Mosher Street was where my dad's store was, and I named my record company in tribute to that building there after that.
Oh, I see. Okay,
so that's Mosher how the name Street came, Mosher Street Records.
Well, that's a Baltimore, Baltimore
that's
reference.
That's a Baltimore thing.
Okay. Now, you've just put out your fourth volume of Showcasing the Blues. This latest one dedicated to all the great harmonica players that are either in South Florida. There's a few guys who've since moved on from South Florida, and then a few, I guess we could consider them honorary South Floridians.
Well, they play so much because the weather's great here. They love to come here in the wintertime, and they're playing a lot around the state there. But my brother and I came up with this idea too. We did guitars on volume three, and we said, you know, my brother Dave says, you know, what about harp players? I said, do you know how many harp players there are in South Florida? Well, we started the project, and I started collecting the music, and I went over to Blues Bobby's house, who has a wall of CDs of everybody.
Yes.
And he started pulling all these CDs out of all the great bands and the harp players. And I started putting the music together. And before you know it, I'm up to 12, then 15. I exceeded the time on one CD. I had to go to a double CD.
Sure. And we should also mention that Blues Bobby is Blues Bobby Weinberg. Right. No relation to me personally, but he runs the South Florida Blues Society, of which you're a charter member.
And I always go to him and Dar to verify for the newer CDs. This is what I want to put out there. Is that okay in your opinion?
Sure. So. And we're talking to Jerry Bloom today, who has put out four volumes of the Showcasing the Blues series of South Florida blues artists. And Jerry was just telling us about these wonderful compilations and the brand new one, which focuses on harmonica players. And we've got some great veterans like Billy Burns on here, Cadillac Chuck. Were these some of the guys that you saw first when you came to South Florida?
Yes, I saw Billy Burns when he first started playing with Big Bob at the Blue Tornadoes at Cheers back in the 90s. And I knew this guy can play. And then Cadillac Chuck, he's been around forever.
Going back to the groove things.
That's right. And, you know, and John Harris and the Fabulous Fleetwoods.
Sure.
They just celebrated 35 years of playing in South Florida.
Wow.
I mean, that band's been around. You know, like the Knucklebusters and those guys. They've been around forever. And Nick Trill, another great harp player, has been around.
Sure.
And I started making a list of all these great players and the people who come down to Florida a lot. And before you know it, I got 28 songs.
Right,
so
right.
I split it between two CDs, 14 and 14. And putting them in the sequence, you know, a couple fast songs and then a slow one. That was the hardest part. Getting the music was easy. But I always got the permission from every one of these of the song that I was using, and they agreed to that, and that worked out great.
Well, what is a great showcase? And I know you mentioned to me earlier about a couple of upcoming projects that sound very exciting, one being Joey Gilmore's new CD that's coming out, and you're the executive producer of that. Do you know when we can expect to see that one?
Well, Joey's leaving for China. He's going on a two-week tour. When he gets back, we're going to go into the studio at Mark Lauren's 42nd Street Studio, which is a great studio. And that's where I did my Hip Cap Boo Daddy CD. Long time coming there, so
yes.
Mark's great. And we've got the music for Joey, stuff that people have not heard him play before. And all he needs to do is rehearse.
Wow, excellent.
And not in the studio. And we're going to go in there, and we're going to lay down 12 or 13 songs with Joey and put that out.
And another project that you had mentioned was a tribute CD to one of our great Miami-based songwriters, Graham Wood Drought of Ico Ico. And I know a lot of people will be very excited about hearing this one. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Well, about 6 weeks ago, A.J. Kelly, the great bass player who's down here, and he comes up to me, says, Jerry, I got a great idea for you for Showcasing the Blues Volume 5. I said, what's that? Feature the music of Graham Wood Drought. I said, oh my God, do you know how much music is out there? The things that he's written and people have done between Ico Ico, Albert Castilla and him.
Joey Gilmore.
And Joey Gilmore and all. And I went to Graham and I said, Graham, what do you think of this idea? And he says, take it and run with it. It's a great idea. So sometime next year in 2015, that's going to be the next release for Showcasing the Blues. And I gave all the bands warning. You guys got about a year head start. Get me one really good track that you can do, studio quality of a Graham Wood Drought song, and you'll be on the CD.
Excellent. Can't wait to hear that one, Jerry. And also, we should just mention the dedication to Volume 4 of the blues series. We had a bunch of our blues brothers, for lack of a better word, who passed away over the last year or so. One being Sean Gurevitz, the great bass player with the Hepcat Boo Daddies. A lot of us knew him as Evil. Right. And of course, that name doesn't apply because he was such a great guy.
And a great friend of mine. And, you know, I wanted to attribute the music to him, even though he wasn't with the harp style, but with that. And then the other guys that were on there,
Mike Beeson.
Michael Beeson, you know, he knew that he wasn't going to make it. This was his fifth battling cancer. And I said, Michael, I met him at Rosie Babies about 2 months before he passed away. I said, I need a track from you. I want to put you on the CD and feature your music. And he went into the studio with his band and made that song for that.
Wow, fantastic.
Bob Abernathy was a great keyboard player for Joey Gilmore.
Yes.
Been here for years.
And we've got Pat Ramsey, who also contributed a track.
Yes. He passed away about 3 years ago, but he played all over Florida. And he's inspiration for Jason Ritchie and Billy Gibson. If you talk to those guys, he was their guru who taught them that technique, how to play that way. And then Jimmy Pagano, he was a really good drummer. Did a lot of charitable work down here. And I wanted to make sure people do not forget Jimmy.
Well, once again, as you said before, that's kind of your mission statement, is to make sure that these guys are celebrated in their time.
Yes. I mean, a lot of these guys don't have the money to put out a CD.
Yeah.
And if they can give me one or two tracks and I can put that on there and get the music out so people can hear what wealth of talent we have down here in South Florida, that's my mission.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for being with us today. I really enjoyed speaking with you, as always. And, of course, best of luck with all the upcoming projects.
Well, it's a pleasure being here, WLRN. And I've known you for years from the Musicians Exchange days. And
that's right.
We're just trying to let the people know this is our music.
Great. Thanks again, Jerry.
Thank you.
For more information about Jerry Bloom, Mosher Records, and the Showcasing the Blues series, please visit parklaneprod.com. You can also reach him at geojerry@aol.com. Showcasing the Blues is also available at CD Baby, Amazon, and iTunes. This is Bob Weinberg for South Florida Arts Beat.
Bob Weinberg is a writer and editor for Jazz Is Magazine and the online publication Jazz and Blues Florida. You can contact him at bobweinberg@mac.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue here on WLRN and WKWM in just a moment.
In the backyard and sit down under the old orange tree.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the os and fae, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is fermented black beans. I remember looking at a can of soy sauce one day in the storeroom of Louis' backyard kitchen, and printed upon it were these words, established in 1250. As in the year 1250. My Lord, I muttered to no one else, that's an old company. I didn't know the half of it. Soy products, of which soy sauce is simply the most obvious, have been around in pretty much the same form since the 6th century. And fermented black beans are probably the first known soy product. These beans are ancient stuff, my friends. In 165 BC, they were placed, clearly marked, in Han Tomb No. 1 in South Central China. The tomb was sealed for eons and first opened in 1972. The high-ranking lady whom the heretofore undisturbed tomb belonged to was probably the wife of the first Marquis of Tai. Not to be confused with our wonderful Latin Caribbean black beans, fermented black beans, a.k.a. frijoles negros, are ready to use from their plastic bag pouch they are kept and sold in. They are also known as duchi, which shows the Chinese connection. Avoid any canned products. I like the Pearl River Bridge and Yangjiang brands, the latter in the bright mustard yellow cardboard container, similar in shape to oatmeal, only a tad smaller. They will keep indefinitely in the refrigerator, but the point is to use them. Fermented black beans are a salt delivery system of the first order, but its freight is wrapped in a veritable kimono of ancient Japanese mystic umami. The great food scientist Harold McGee explains it as well as one can. He writes, "Since there are only a few genuine tastes, sensations on the tongue, not the nose, certainly salt contributes the overall complexity and balance of flavor." Heady stuff when you take that sentence in grain by grain. He enigmatically adds, "Sorry, there is not a neater answer, though maybe it's good to retain some mystery in such a basic matter." The first question when using fermented black beans in a recipe is, to rinse or not to rinse? Though called fermented black beans primarily, they are also known as salted black beans. My advice? It's up to you, really. If you don't rinse them, be certain to avoid any other extra salt in the recipe you are creating. Other variables come into the dialogue as well. To mash or not? To chop or not? But let's not get flustered. There are many things eternally true about cuisine, and one is that personal preferences are okay. How do you learn which are yours? You cook. So don an apron over your kimono with me. Fermented black beans can be used in countless dishes. Pork riblets carry enough fat to balance the salt. Clams in a mirin-sweetened broth ride a salty wave, but what a thrill. Tofu is an easy partner due to the blandness tofu should rightfully be praised for. I have a dish on my menu where I lightly rinse them, roughly chop them, and combine them in a saucepan with ginger, sake, rice wine, vinegar, and garlic. I reduce them together, add a touch of chicken stock, and a smaller touch of butter. This goes as one of the sauces with my deep-fried sushi, something they didn't feature in the 6th century. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West, and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Sopa de Pollo.